Thank you for that with Daniel and Heather. We of course, we're not only give, but we release our faith with them. And as always, when you give, amen, you're doing it from a heart of love and a heart of love for God and a heart of love for His work. But you should always, always, always do it in faith. You should believe you receive, amen, a harvest on the planting of your seed. No farmer would go out and plant a crop and then let it die in the field. Give and expect a harvest and receive your harvest in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Well, we're going to begin this morning, or really our main text, the only text we'll look at is Hebrews 10:23. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. What a powerful scripture. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Sometimes in the scriptures, the word hope means to have trust or faith in God to keep His promises. And that's what it means here in the book of Hebrews. I'll say that again. Sometimes hope and faith, you know, are very closely related. And it means to have trust. To hope is to have trust or faith in God to keep His promises. So the King James Bible says, let us hold fast the profession. Profession, confession, same exact Greek word. The profession or confession of our faith without wavering, for He that is God is faithful that promised. The Good News Translation says, let us hold firmly to the hope we profess because we can trust God to keep His promises. I like the UBS Word Studies. It's one of my favorite Greek word studies that I go to. And it says this. It says, in the book of Hebrews, as in the Old Testament, faith and hope are very close in meaning. So it says this could be translated, let us hold on to our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hope for. Let us hold on to our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hope for. Amen. So this verse says, let us hold fast, glory to God, our confession of faith without wavering. I like that hold fast. You know, the King James Bible was originally done 400 years ago. And in that day particularly, it also means the same thing today, but the expression hold fast, and hold fast is the English words that they chose to use to express the Greek word. And this word hold fast to somebody in England, you know, when the Bible was being translated and printed, that was a nautical term. You know, a sailor was told, hold fast in the middle of a storm where the winds are howling and the waves are beating against the ship. And their ships weren't like, you know, big ships today. He said, hold fast, grab a hold of the rigging, grab a hold of something, grab a hold to the line, and hold fast lest you be swept overboard. So hold fast. Spiritually, we are to hold fast and not let the wind and waves of fear and doubt move us off our confession of faith without wavering. Hold fast. Because sometimes, even though God promises you something, you know, it's not automatically realized, it's not immediately manifested, I should say, is maybe a better way to say it. So you have to hold fast, because what God said to you is true no matter what it looks like. Glory to God. For He, God, who promised, is faithful. God will always see to it that His promises come to true in our lives when we, by faith, take them. But you do have to take them. If you don't take them, they never become yours. So we must take them. We must claim them in order for them to be true in our lives. Glory to God. Now I want to read to you something from, Margaret was sharing this with me back about a month ago. This is from, you know, from her, when her dad passed away, she inherited a couple of devotionals he had. And this is one that goes back 60 or 70 years. So it quotes people that were popular back in that day. Amen. And this one, just very short, let me just read you part of this. It quotes Hebrews 10:23 and says, He is faithful that promised. And this devotional says, God's power will keep God's promises. Promises for the soul, promises for the body, promises for others, promises for our work, promises for our business, promises for time and for eternity. These are all ours. It is not your weakness that can defeat God's promise, nor your strength that can fulfill the promise. He that spoke the word will himself make it good. It is neither your business nor mine to keep God's promise. That is His grace. The signed check is given us. How foolish if we fear to present it. Never yet has one single check been dishonored. He is faithful that promised. And then it says, I take, He undertakes. So that I take. See, we take by faith what God promises or offers us. But then God undertakes, meaning He performs it. He's the performer. We're not the performer. Our job is simply to believe or take by faith. To believe in the biblical sense means to take. We take by faith what He offers, what He gives, what He promises. And so that's a great way to express how it works. We take, He undertakes. The dictionary says to undertake is to commit oneself to do something, or to promise to do a particular thing, or to guarantee something. So we take, and then God commits Himself to perform it, to make it come to pass, to see to it that we have what we took. Our job is to simply receive or take what He gives. We take, He undertakes. Amen. And then this devotional Margaret gave me a devotional quote, or they quoted Dr. A.B. Simpson. Dr. A.B. Simpson lived back in the early 1900s. He was one of the original leaders of the Pentecostal movement, and he greatly influenced people of his day, Pentecostal people of his day. He is not directly, but indirectly, he is the founder of really several Pentecostal denominations. You know, the Foursquare, Church of God, and others, Assemblies of God particularly, I think. And so because of his influence upon them before these came into being. And so he was a great leader in the early days of the Pentecostalism in the 1900s. And he wrote this poem. He said, I clasp the hand of love divine. I claim the gracious promise mine. And add to his my countersign. Now listen to what he's saying poetically. I add to his my countersign. Well, let's stop right there. When you countersign a check, we would say that today, you endorse it. Amen. So you countersign. You endorse it. In other words, you're saying, this is me, this check belongs to me, and then you deposit it. You receive the check, you take it to the bank, you sign the back of it, and it becomes yours. But if you don't sign the back of it, and if you don't take it to the bank, it never becomes yours, even though it was given to you. So it's given to you, promised to you, offered to you. You just have to endorse it and cash it. You claim it as yours and cash it. That's what we do with the promises of God. We claim it as ours and cash them. Amen. If we don't claim it and cash it, then it never becomes ours. Amen. And so that's what he's alluding to in this poem. So going back to this poem written by Dr. A.B. Simpson, he says, I clasp the hand of love divine. I claim the gracious promise mine. And add to his my countersign. I take, he undertakes. I simply take him at his word. I praise him that my prayer is heard, and claim my answer from the Lord. I take, he undertakes. I like that. Amen. And A.B. Simpson knew what he was talking about. Glory to God. He knew that you must take what God promises or offers you, but he also knew that you had to do exactly what Hebrews 11:23 tells you to do. That is, you have to hold fast to your testimony of faith, your profession of faith, your confession of faith without wavering, suggesting that you are in a storm, you are in a problem, you're dealing with things that say that you don't have what God says you have. So we have to claim or take by faith what God promises us, and we must hold tightly to what we took by faith without wavering. Again, meaning that sometimes what we see or feel may contradict God's word, may contradict God's promise. So we must fight the good fight of faith and not let go of our faith and not let go of our confession and not waver in believing that we have what God promised us when the wind and waves of doubt and fear attack our mind. See, hold fast to your testimony. Hold fast to your confession of faith without wavering. The reason I say Dr. A.B. Simpson knew something about this is because when he was in the 40s, this was before he became Pentecostal, he was a Presbyterian minister. Well, he went to the doctor with alarming symptoms, you know, heart problems, and the doctor told him that he had a severe heart condition and that he only had a few months to live. Well, he just accepted that because that's all he knew about. Didn't know anything about divine healing. But he was at some meetings and he heard some people get up and testify. And these people got up and testified, and he said, they got up and testified and said they took. Everybody say took. They took Jesus as their healer and got healed just like they took him as their Savior and got saved. He'd never heard anybody talk in those terms. And so he says, they said, listen, we trusted him to heal us just like we trusted him to save us. We simply took Jesus as our healer and got healed just like we took him as our Savior and got saved. So he had been told, you know, he only had a few months to live. His interest had been piqued in divine healing. Then he heard these people, you know, talking in these terms. And so he decided to go be by himself. You know, sometimes you just want to be by yourself. Sometimes somebody will take a weekend off. Sometimes they'll go to the mountain. Sometimes they'll go to the beach. Sometimes they'll go into the bench in the backyard just to be by themselves and think something through. So he took time off and went to a vacation area, vacation spot, because he was determined to settle this question in his heart to see if divine healing did belong to him, because if it did, obviously that meant the difference between life and death for him. So he determined to settle the matter and to go study the subject for himself. So with Bible in hand and with the Holy Spirit as his guide, he looked to Jesus, amen, to settle the matter for himself. And after intense Bible study, and he was a very intelligent man and very well thought of intellectually, after intense Bible study, he became absolutely convinced that healing was part and parcel of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that healing belonged to him just like salvation belonged to him. That Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary not only paid the price for his sins, but paid the price for his sicknesses and diseases. So just like he was saved, he could be healed by faith, by believing in what Jesus did for him at Calvary. And so he took Jesus as his healer and vowed. He made a vow that I will live and that I will preach healing and I will minister healing to your people for the rest of my ministry and the rest of my life. Well, he was already a man of some reputation. And so a couple of days later, I guess some people found out he was in the area, and he was invited to speak at a luncheon. So he went at that luncheon, and what he taught on that luncheon was he taught on the truths he had discovered about divine healing. And he told the men what he had learned, what he had discovered, and that healing was in fact a part of redemption, that it belonged to us, just like salvation belonged to him. So they rejoiced with him and said, well, that's great and that's wonderful. And then they, you know, they were in the area. This is a vacation spot. And so they asked him to go mountain climbing with him. Well, his first thought was, my God, I can't go mountain climbing, my heart. Because at this time, he had declared that he was healed by faith in God. He took Jesus as his healer, but he hadn't felt any better. He still had some pain, still had some weakness, still had some irregular heartbeat and so forth. And so he said, I can't go mountain climbing. But he realized, I'm healed because the Word of God says I'm healed. I took Jesus as my healer. My part, that's my part. I take, he undertakes. And so he says, I've got to hold fast the confession of my faith without wavering. So he went mountain climbing with those guys. And he said, we begin, I don't think it was mountain climbing like with ropes and all that, I don't really know, but I think it was just a steep trail, mountain climbing in that sense. But he says, as we were climbing that mountain and so forth, he says, I'm telling you, my heart began to beat irregularly. Tremendous pain hit me in my chest area. My heart, you know, I felt weakness all over my body. The devil told me, you're going to die right on the side of this mountain. They're going to have to carry you down. You're not going to live. You're going to die. He said, I'm experiencing this pain, this weakness. All these thoughts are coming to my mind. But he said, I got my mind off of that. And he said, I began to think about all those scriptures that I had studied, all those scriptures I had learned, because he had, you know, done that all day long intensely for weeks. And he said, so as I meditated on those scriptures and thought on those scriptures and remembered those scriptures and quoted those scriptures back to myself, he said, all of my pain left and my weakness left and the fear left and my heart started beating regularly. He said, well, we'd continue to climb up the mountain. And he said, I'd kind of forget about everything and just begin to fellowship with the men and talk with the men and enjoy the climb. And he said, all of a sudden, here come these symptoms back again. Fear, pain, weakness, you know, all of that. Irregular heartbeat, real serious stuff. Been told by the doctor, you don't have a few months to live. He said, but every time that would happen, I would once again turn my attention off my problem off my symptoms and back onto the Word of God, back onto the Scriptures. And he says, as I did, all of my symptoms and all of my pain would leave. And he battled his way up to the top of that mountain. This happened to him several times. What was he doing? He was holding fast. Hold tight. He was holding fast his confession of faith without wavering, because God, who promised, is faithful. He believed, God undertook. He took, God undertook. Amen. He believed, and God performed it, made it happen. And he said, I fought my way to the top of that mountain. When I reached the top of the mountain, I didn't have any more symptoms, and they never came back again, and I was totally well and healed by the power of God. And he went on to live, you know, a long, healthy life. He took, everybody say took. He took what God promised and refused to let go of what he believed. He held tightly onto God's promises when his circumstances said they were not true. And God, as he always does, keeps his word. And God, as he always does, was faithful to perform. Amen. God always keeps his word to those who simply take him at his word and who hold fast their confession of faith without wavering. Of course, many scriptures tell us that. Right here in the book of Hebrews, there's another place where it says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Better translations would be through faith and perseverance. The word patience there, the biblical word translated patience from the Greek, means that you don't quit believing because of your contradictory circumstances. Matter of fact, it means you take a strong stance and refuse to give up and refuse to yield up. Amen. So through faith and perseverance, meaning you don't quit believing because of your circumstances that say it's not true. Amen. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. You know, there's an old song that says, I love it, says, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, all our blessings of his love divine. Every promise, you know, in the book is mine. Got a little off there, but you got it. Every promise in the book is ours, but you have to take it. You have to take it. Now, very, very important. We take what God promises. If we don't take it, it never becomes ours. Hebrews 10:23 is just, like I said, just one scripture along these lines. But obviously, you know this. We must continue to believe we have. When you believe you have, that's how you take. We must continue to believe we have what we took by faith. And the great key to doing that is to do exactly like Dr. A.B. Simpson did. He took his eyes off his symptoms. Now, he had physical symptoms, but it could be off your financial circumstances. It could be off your family problem, whatever the problem is. But he, in his situation, took his eyes off his symptoms, off his pain, and he turned his attention onto God's Word and what his Word and promises tell us. Now, here's the deal. That's the only way. That's the only way. Everybody say the only way. That's the only way. You can hold fast your confession of faith without wavering. That's the only way you can let faith and patience, as James says, have its perfect work so that you may be entire and wanting nothing. That's the only way, as Hebrews says, you through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. You have to turn your attention off of your giant. You have to turn your attention off your problem. You have to turn your attention off the feeling, your feelings and circumstances, and fix your mind and your focus and your intention on God, on his word, and what his word promises you. Many scriptures point this truth out to it. But here's an example. I want to give this example. It's from the life of Smith Wigglesworth, just because I think this expresses this in a way that it may be extremely helpful to you. And this is also from some of Margaret's devotions where she shared with me. I think Smith Wigglesworth knew something about this because he raised over 20 people from the dead. And so he tells this story, and this perfectly illustrates this, and I think it'll help you. He said, a man came to me and said, the doctor says this is the last day that my wife has to live. Oh, Mr. C, this is Smith. Oh, Mr. C, why don't you believe God? He replied, I have looked at you when you talked and I've wept, talking about Smith Wigglesworth and how he operated. And how he, I've looked at you and when you talked and I've wept and said, Father, if you could give me this confidence, I would be so happy. Well, confidence is another word for faith. In other words, he's seen the faith of Smith Wigglesworth and said, oh, I wish I had faith like Smith Wigglesworth had faith. But you don't get faith by wishing for it. You don't get faith by praying for it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I said, you know, Smith said, could you trust God with me? I felt that the Lord would heal her. So this man couldn't, so I sent to another man and asked if he would come with me to a dying woman. And I believe that if two of us would go and anoint her according to James 5, 14 and 15, she would be raised up. This man said, oh, why do you come to me? I could not believe. Although I believe the Lord would be sure to heal her if you would go. Then I sent to another man and asked him to go with me and told him whatever impression he had, be sure to pray that when he was praying for her. We entered the house. I asked the man to pray first. He cried in desperation out to God to heal her. Crying out is not faith. Crying in desperation is not faith. Crying is not claiming. Crying is not believing. Crying is not taking. Asking is not taking. God simply asked us to take it by believing it's ours. He cried out in desperation and prayed that the man might be comforted after he was left with these little motherless children, and that he might be strengthened to bear his sorrow. I could hardly wait until he had finished. My whole being was moved. I thought, what an awful thing to bring this man all the way to pray that kind of prayer. What was the matter with him? He was looking at the dying woman instead of looking at God. This will change the way you pray for people forever. He was looking at the dying woman instead of looking at God. You can never, Smith Wigglesworth, you can never pray the prayer of faith if you look at the person who is needing it. There is only one way to look, and that is to Jesus. You can never pray in faith about anything if you're focused on the giant. You can never pray about anything if you're walking by sight. You can never pray in faith if you're looking at your money problems, if you're looking at how serious the doctor says it is. You can never pray in faith looking at the problem. You've got to turn and look to Jesus. Are you getting this? That's an impossible situation. Is it impossible to God? Is a simple cold versus cancer any different in God's mind? Is the replacement of a whole heart any harder with God than the sniffles? In our minds, it's different. That's why you better get your mind off the problem and get your eyes on Jesus. He was looking at the dying woman instead of looking at God. You can never pray the prayer of faith if you look at the person who is needing it. There is only one place to look, and that is to Jesus. The Lord wants us, now see, because he's preaching and somebody's writing this down from Smith. The Lord wants to help us this afternoon to learn the truth, to keep our eyes on Him. When this man had finished, I said to Mr. C, now you pray. That's the lady's husband, you know. He took up the thread where the other man left off and went on with the same kind of prayer. He got so beneath the burden, I thought he would never rise again. And I was glad when he got through. I could not have borne it much longer. And it seemed the most out of order of anything I've ever heard in my life. My soul was stirred. I was anxious for God to get a chance to do something and to have His way. I did not wait to pray, but rushed up to the bed and tipped up the oil bottle, pour nearly the whole contents on the woman, and I saw Jesus above the bed with the sweetest smile on His face. And I said to her, woman, Jesus Christ makes you whole. And she was not only healed, but was raised up in that very hour. Amen. Oh, beloved, here it is though. We rejoice at that, but don't miss what made the difference. Oh, beloved, may God help us to get our eyes off the conditions and symptoms, no matter how bad they may be, and get them fastened upon Him, and then we should be able to pray the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Again, you can never pray the prayer of faith if you look at the person in need. Don't look at the need, look at Jesus. Don't look at the problem, look at Jesus. Look at Jesus. Don't look at how long you've had the problem, look at Jesus. Amen. Get your mind, your eyes off the problem, off the conditions, off what your senses tell you, and fasten them on Jesus. Then you can exercise faith. So let me close with this. Three simple things here, real quick. Close with this. Remember, number one, remember, faith comes by hearing God's word. D.L. Moody said this, "I prayed for faith and thought that someday faith would come down and strike me like lightning. But faith did not come. One day I read in the 10th chapter of Romans, 'Now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.' I had closed my Bible and prayed for faith. I now open my Bible and begin to study, and faith has been coming ever since." So number one, faith comes by hearing. Remember, faith comes by hearing. Number two, remember, you must by faith take what God promises you. You can pray and pray and pray and pray over a promise and never obtain it, because asking is not taking and begging is not claiming. You know, if something belongs to you and is offered to you, like in the old days, you could go out west and there was land free for the taking, but you had to go out and claim it as yours. When you claimed it as yours, it became yours. So number two, remember, you must take by faith what promises you. Asking is not taking, and begging is not claiming. And then number three, hard truth, but we need to remember, what you take is all you will ever get. Unless God sovereignly moves in some special way for you, but what you take is all you will ever get. Glory to God. So take Him at His word, because every promise in the book is yours. Amen. I said every promise in the book of yours, every chapter, every verse, every line. Divine love gives it to you. All you have to do is take it by faith. Thank you, Lord. I had a direct impression this morning to pray for people. We're going to pray for Brother Harold. But I had a direct impression to pray for people who you can't put your finger on it per se, but you just feel you're just not up to par physically. And or you say, well, it's just been like for a year, or it's been 6 months, or it's been a year and a half. It's just been this little nagging problem, and I got over that, and there was another little nagging problem, and I got over that, and there was another little nagging problem, and I got over that. I feel pressed to pray for people like that, for people that just say, I just hadn't felt, you know, and I don't feel bad, and I'm not nothing specific, but I just hadn't felt good in a long time, or I've just had a lot of nagging problems, or I've just had one little problem after the other. I feel very impressed to pray for people like that. So if that's you and you want prayer, I want you to come to the front right now. We're going to pray for you. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to God. Praise you, Father. Amen. Got others coming. Harold, come on up here too. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, besides these, and there's still others coming, if you want to be prayed for about anything, you come up here. Glory to God. Harold specifically called me and asked for the elders of the church to anoint him with oil and pray over him. So I want Pastor John, I want you to come up here. Tony, I want you to stand right there behind Harold. Margaret, come up here. Caleb, come up here. Sherry, come up here. Glory to God. There's others, but got so many Bible preachers in here. Dear God. Glory to God. Harold's going in because they suspect that he needs a new heart valve. They don't know that for a fact, I don't guess. Or they think they know it for a fact, like they are. But they're going in to run some dye in to see what part of it needs to be fixed, and he wants to believe God for divine healing. So my mind can go a million different directions, but don't look at the dying woman. Look at Jesus. Jesus has got rooms full of heart valves. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Smith Wigglesworth said he anointed that girl with oil. James 5:14 and 15 says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil, praying over him the prayer of faith, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick. in the name of Jesus. So we're going to anoint everybody that's up here with oil this morning. And we're going to believe God for health and wholeness, renewed strength, for a shot of divine health. Just a shot of divine health. You understand? Just for a shot of divine health. Glory to God. And when we come to you, you're just going to simply say, I just take it by faith. I just receive it. I just take it by faith. Glory to God. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in obedience to your word, we anoint Harold with oil, Father, right now in the name of Jesus. And we say, Jesus Christ makes you whole. Father, heal or fix or make brand new whatever part of his heart needs to be fixed and made brand new. Whatever part of that valve needs to be restored or fixed or completely renewed, we believe, we receive that, and we say, heart, be healed. Be whole. Be well. In the name of Jesus. And so we just praise you and thank you for doing that, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God in the name of Jesus. We anoint you with oil. Be whole, be healed, be well, and be renewed with Holy Ghost, divine, physical strength and wellness and healing in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, be well, be whole from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Be strengthened physically in every part of your body and be renewed. A shot of divine health goes into your body right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, be healed, be whole, be well from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. We believe for an impartation of divine strength, physical strength and health, a shot of health in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We anoint you with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and we say, be healed, be well. There it is, divine strength and a divine shot of healing and health flows into your body right now. No more nagging problems, continuous problems. You're redeemed from the curse of sore sicknesses of long continuance. Be well and whole and healed. Glory to God. Lift up your head there. Glory to God. Be well and be whole and be healed. Whole, wholeness, health. We speak health to your body, strength, physical strength. Thank you, God, for spiritual strength. But we believe when you experience the impartation of divine spiritual strength and health and wholeness in your physical body right now in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Say, I take it by faith. It's mine. I have it now. I believe I have it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We anoint Tony with oil. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for a shot of divine power, a shot of health and healing, a shot of strength and wholeness, health and physical healing and health over his body. Praise God. Glory to God. Divine physical strength flows into his body and a shot of divine health. No more, no more, no more. I hear the Holy Ghost say, no more, no more, no more. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. We take it by faith. We claim it by faith in Jesus' name. Glory to God. 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 Thank you, Lord. Stand up with us. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Say it out loud. Say, every promise in the book is mine. I claim the gracious promise mine. I simply take God at his word and claim my answer from the Lord. And I praise him. I praise him that my prayer is heard. We're talking about faith for healing, but it's faith for whatever your prayer is. Just thank him that your prayer is heard. Thank him right now that your prayer is heard. Just thank him for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father. We hold fast our confession of faith without wavering. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 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 All your blessings are ours. Every promise in the book is mine. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Something we know, but I love it. I love it. I love it. I don't care what the prayer request is, immediately look to Jesus. Because he is the performer. It's his power. It's not your power. So why should it freak you out that it's something serious? It's not your power. It's his power. Can he handle serious things? Can he do big things? Does God care how big the giant is? Does it matter how many of the giants there are? Does it matter how long the problems existed? Not to God. And you're not the one doing it. So you're just going to look to God to do it. And so for the rest of your life, take the advice of Smith Wigglesworth. Take the advice of A.B. Simpson. More importantly, take the advice of the Word of the living God. Glory to God. And get your eyes off the person in need and look to Jesus and look to his power and expect his power to be manifest on the scene to take care of the problem. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Ooh, I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. Glory to God. 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 And if you're older, there's promises in the book, every chapter, every verse, every line, that promise you as you get older that you can be well, that you can be strong, that you can be fruitful, that you can be effective. Say, I don't know those promises. Well, look them up. Call me. I'll give you the scriptures. Glory to God. Don't begin to yield to the thoughts of, no, I'm older, so I've got to slowly, 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 slowly become more and more and more decrepit. No, 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 no. The path of the righteous goes brighter day by day. I believe, don't you? So you mean you feel like you do when you was 20, Pastor Mark? I didn't say that. But I'm not going to let the devil talk me into being sick and diseased and hurt and sad the rest of my life. Praise God. Glory to God. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, if you're saved and you know it, lift both hands and praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's everybody. Amen. Glory to God. 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 Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. Hallelujah. We magnify and bless you and praise you. Glory to God. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Some things going on in the world right now may begin to be a little, are you tired of it? Me too. But hold fast. Do you want it over? Me too. Do you think you're beyond being shocked, but then you turn on the news and the craziness is beyond? But me too. Hold fast. Hold fast. Everything God said is coming to pass in your life. And it is true. And we will make it, and we will overcome, and we will make it victoriously in grand style. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Turn to your neighbor. Oh, what? Go ahead. Do it. Do it. Do it.
Every stronghold has to bow.
Yes.
Every sickness has to flee. We take you at your word. We take you at your word. Every stronghold has to break. Every sickness has to flee. Oh, we take you at your word. Oh, we take you at your word. Oh, every stronghold has to break.
Yes.
Every sickness has to flee. Oh, we take you at your word. Oh, we take you at your word. We take you at your word. Oh, we take you at your word.
Amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. That stronghold in your life is broken. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care how many times you've thought this or thought that. The strong say, I take him at his word. And every stronghold in my life is broken. Every sickness has to flee. I'm free. I'm healed. And I'm blessed in Jesus' name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, every stronghold. We take him at his word. 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 Thank you for stepping out. Praise God. Glory to God. Amen. So as we're dismissed this morning, turn to somebody and say, I take him at his word. And you're dismissed. Praise God. Hallelujah. I take him at his word. Glory to God.